So, how is it that some children have recollections of their previous lives? Basically, the mind is the same from this body to another body. And our memories are partly stored in the brain, but they're partly stored in the mind also. So, especially the deep memories, the deep impressions are stored in the mind. Now, in principle, if the memories are stored in the mind, then it is possible for people to remember it, remember their previous lives. But usually, the transition from one body to another body is so traumatic, so disorienting, that most of the memories get pushed back to the background so much that they are not recollectable. But in some cases, especially in cases where death is violent or unexpected in some way, then at that time, the soul, the event of death is not fully processed. And because of that not being fully processed, in some cases, those unprocessed memories filter up. So the children, basically, Dr. Ian Stevenson was a prominent researcher from the University of Virginia, and he did a lot of research. He actually spent 4 decades traveling across all the inhabited continents, investigating thousands of cases. And he found 4 levels of indicators of this continuity of the person from one body to another. The first was, as you said, past life memories. The children would remember, oh, I was so and so, and I lived here, and this was my friend, and this was my brother, this was my wife or my husband or whatever, like that. That is one level. But the second level is not just past life recollections, but there are also past life recognitions. When the children were taken to that place, there was this case of T2 Sharma. He was Suresh Verma in his previous life, and he was shot dead just outside his car, outside his house when he was returning home from a car in Kanpur. And then he was reborn as T2 in Lucknow. These are both cities in India. And then he was taken there back. And he was a small child. He was just a barely 4-year-old child. He would say that I'm married and I have a wife. My wife's name is Uma. Now, his parents are shocked. What is this child saying? But he says, I own an electrical shop. Name is Verma Electrical Shop. And then I stay in that city of Kanpur, he said. So then his relatives went and checked. They actually saw there was a Verma Electrical Studio. And they found it was run by a widow named Uma. So then they took this boy there. And then as soon as they took their boy there, normally, as a 4 or 5-year-old boy, if you see some unfamiliar woman, there will be a little hesitation. She said, as soon as he saw the shop, hey Uma, why did you change the shop like this? That's the first thing he said, because there were some things which were kept high up, and she was a woman, she had changed this design in such a way that things would be more accessible to her. So then he not only called her by name, but called her in a very familiar way, like a husband calling his wife. But then later on, when he met and identified several other family members also. So when his grandmother saw him, when his mother, he went and just embraced her legs. And she said, oh, she didn't see who it is, she thought it's her grandson. And she called her grandson, I'm not your grandson, I'm your son. So there are past life recognitions. That's the second level. Third level is past life behaviors. That means, okay, there are two aspects. There are phobias and there are behaviors. So for example, if somebody has died by drowning in a previous life, then in this life they have severe hydrophobia. Or in some cases, there was a Muslim boy who was born as a Hindu. And he was born in a vegetarian family. But when he went to his previous life Muslim parents, he told them, he identified all these things happened. He identified them. His name was in this life. His name was Om. In the previous life, his name was Naseeb. So he went to Naseeb's parents, and then they saw him. They were amazed. They just couldn't process it. What is happening? Because according to their belief system, there's no such thing as reincarnation. But finally, when he identified everyone, he was about to go, He says, what is this? You know, my mother would never let me go without offering tea and eggs. Now, he in his house would never eat eggs. But here, he had that habit. So, there are phobias which can go on from previous life, and habits can go on from previous life. At the third level. And the fourth level is actually birthmarks and birth defects. So, for example, in St2, Suresh Verma had come back from his shop at night in the evening, and he had been shot at point range, just in his car. So, a bullet had entered from his right temple and gone out of his left temple. And T2 had birthmarks at exactly the same location. You know, swelling on the left side, swelling on the right side, and swelling on the left side. And normally, when a bullet enters, usually standard it is that the entry point of a bullet is smaller, the exit point is bigger. Because the body, as the bullet processes out, it causes more damage. So, in this case also, the swelling, the birthmark on the right side was smaller and the left side was bigger. And when, because it had been a murder case, so they had done some post-mortem of Suresh Verma's body also. So, Ian Stevenson, what he did was, he divided the human body into a set of grids, like we have XY coordinates. So, he divided it into 64 grids. And then he correlated. Now, how precise is the location of the previous life's fatal wound and the location of this birthmark? And he found there are precise correlations. The same place in the grid where the previous life's wound was there. The same place here, there's a birthmark. And another thing he found is, by the current scientific understanding, birthmarks and birth defects can basically occur from two reasons. One is, there's some genetic factors. The parents have those birthmarks, and that's how the children get the birthmarks. Second is that during pregnancy, if the mother goes some chemical imbalance, you know, either she has some disease, or she smokes, or she drinks, and she takes in some chemicals, which can harm the embryo. Now, in these cases, it monitored, and he found that there is no genetic defects. In almost 70-80% of the cases of birthmarks and birth defects, he found that there were no cases of the mother having taken any substance which had caused the child any problem, nor were there any genetic factors. So, biologically also, the presence of birthmarks and birth defects are not explainable. So, these four things, past life recollections, past life recognitions, past life behaviors, and past life correlation with birthmarks and birth defects, they are all very strongly pointing towards the continuity of the person from one life to the next. Thank you.
Thank you.